Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Seven Stones community call. It's our New Year tradition to have a creation call in January, and we are so thrilled and honored that you would join us and take this time around lunch if you're on the East Coast, or in the morning if you're on the West Coast, and many of you I know are coming in from other places around the globe, so just thank you for joining us live today. I know many of you will be listening to this recording later to hear about creation, and we are touched and honored to have our friend and colleague and sister in sufficiency, Carol Dearborn, with us today as our guest. And we have Gina LaRoche, who many of you know as co-founder of Seven Stones Leadership, who is also a devoted creative artist. And she and Carol have a very unique relationship that we're really excited to, or I'm really excited to hear more about and to share the power of partnership in creation today. Before we get started, I just want to do a little bit of housekeeping. I am going to keep everyone on mute for the beginning part of the call while we do a little bit of more conversation among Gina and Carol. So we'll be in a little bit more of a listening mode, but please feel free to raise your hand by pressing the number 1 on your keypad so that we can see you raise your hand and we can call on you if you have a question or a comment before we open it up. But we will be opening it up to the group to have a group call experience so we can all interact and share in the practices and frameworks around creation and creativity. So let's get started. Let me do a little introduction for Ms. Carol Dearborn, who comes with a broad range of experience and care around sufficiency and creation. She's a visual artist, an exquisite visual artist, let me say, and you can go to her website and see her online gallery. And if you're local to the Boston area, she's often has us in studios. She's a shamanic healer and travels extensively into South America and comes back with new wisdom and teaches here. You can look out for workshops. And she's also very involved in the Sufficiency Foundation and has been a big voice, a calm, strong, wise voice in the Sufficiency movement for over a decade now. And has devoted her life to creation, and we're just thrilled to have her to talk about what creation means to her. And of course, Gina LaRoche, who is co-founder of Seven Stones and is an amazing facilitator and coach and consultant, and who has also found herself quite devoted and dedicated to creation practices, both in visual arts, but also in the way she creates her day, her year, and her month. And sets a very high standard for those of us over at Seven Stones for how to do that and how to take really good care of our intentions and declarations. So welcome both of you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's hear Carol. Hi, honey, and get your voice present here and just say whatever comes to mind and make your voice heard to start off, and just tell us a bit about what creation means to you. What is it to you?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Shay and Gina, for inviting me. I have long admired and supported the work of Seven Stones since your beginnings. So I'm it's great to be here, and I love collaborating with you. Let me just say that creation is the center of my life, and not just as a visual artist and a somebody who comes from a family of visual artists, but because I believe that creation in the larger sense, the sense of our paving the way for our individual future and the future of our planet, depends upon our stepping into our responsibility as creators, our accepting the fact that we do create and are using this great creative power for the good of all. And so I'd like to encourage everybody who's on the call to do one of the most basic creation practices, which is to set an intention for what you would like to receive in terms of insight and inspiration for your life, and how you would like your experience of this call to unfold. So take a minute to breathe deeply and create an intention for the call. And I'm going to do the same, and I'll announce my intention as soon as I make it. I intend that this call serve as a means of reverberating these practices that Gina and I have long shared and the inspiration that they've created between us, that this energy will reverberate into your lives and the lives of all that you touch and awaken this great creative power in yourselves. And then the third thing that I'd like to mention is that I encourage everybody to use the beginning of the year, as Shay was saying, this year-end, new year beginning is a very powerful time to attune ourselves to the rhythms of the natural world, our planet, and the universe, and use this this new beginning to really start at a very fundamental level. And I'm sure that Gina and I will discuss this in much more detail as the call goes on. So over to you, Gina.
Thank you, Carol. So I'm just sitting here thinking, now you all know why I talk to this woman every day, is to really have the grounding of creation in all that I do and all that we do. I think for me, Shay, creation, really Carol has simultaneously been my guide and partner. My biggest transformation was realizing that I thought only artists were creative, that that you had to be Nureyev or a painter or famous to be creative, and that the rest of us, just had to go to work for a living. And what has unfolded in me during my journey with Carol and really inside of this conversation for sufficiency has been this emergence of my creative voice or creative self. And I think what I would say is, so my intention for this call is that we all either recover or discover that creative energy for ourselves.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Carol. I'm tempted actually to see if anyone else wants to share their intention. If you do, will you raise your hand and I'll take you off mute while you're thinking about whether or not to have your voice heard at this point in the call. My intention is a little bit more simple and broad, but I made the intention to be present and at ease in my role, and to take great care of everyone on the call and have that be a creative act. That's a little experiment I'm running. Would anyone else like to share their intention before we move on? How about this? I'm going to take you all off of mute for a moment. And if anyone just wants to spontaneously share their intention for the call, you can just talk. See some new people joining the call. I had you on mute, but I'm unmuting you to see if anyone would like to share their intention for the call. Okay. Thinking everyone's feeling pretty shy still. Last any takers?
Hi.
Yay, Ursula. Thank you, honey.
I am just, my intention for the call is bringing a joyful playfulness and openness to the possibilities.
Awesome. Awesome. The playfulness, the possibilities, playfulness and joy. Thanks, Ursula.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anybody else? It's a gift to us. Oh, TiVo, you're raising your hand here. TiVo?
Hello?
Your intention?
Yes.
Hi, it's Jay. What's your intention for your call today?
It's really to return back to what I think is the birthright of creativity and how to surrender to that, because I think as adults we move further and further away.
Mm. Oh, I just felt that. I just felt the truth of that. Thanks for presencing that and for making an intention to counteract that, to really move in a direction of creation in spite of kind of the cultural pull away from it. Anyone else? We'll take one more.
Hi, this is Bridge.
Hello, Bridge. Welcome.
So, first, I wanted to know, how do you raise your hand on the call?
Oh, did you miss that? For everyone, thanks for asking this, because there's been a few new people, and I did go over housekeeping earlier. If you'd like to raise your hand, you can press a number 1, 2, or 3 on your keypad, and that will show us on our little dashboard that you would like to be heard.
Great. So my intention for the call is to discover what is important to us and how to align our lives around that.
Mm. Okay. Bridge, that's so great. I'm going to thank you for that gift of segueing us to what we'll talk about next. So I'm going to put you all back on mute to hold any background noise at ease for now. So, Carol, can you answer Bridget's question? It's such a great one. How do we discover what to create and what to align around?
That's a really wonderful question. Thank you, Bridget. I really appreciate that one. Part of the creation process that I have, I should say, kind of put together over many years, I would say I've been doing facets of this for probably 20 or 25 years. And one of the most basic practices that I teach is the practice of availability. And what that means is that, particularly as modern world dwellers, we tend to be in our own heads, in our own deductive minds, and we are not available to the urgings and the directives and the guidance of source energy, however that appears for you in your world. So whatever practices you want to institute, whether it be mindfulness of any kind, walking or meditating or intending, you and we all need to continuously remind ourselves to step out of our deductive thinking mind and to allow Source to become more and more of a presence. And once Source begins to take over the majority of our time, the choices, the pathways really become crystal clear. Because what we're doing is we're giving over our dependence on the past and experience and societal expectations. We're giving that over to something new, something that we can't figure out on the basis of past deduction. And we're not giving over our individual gifts or what makes us distinctive. But we're giving over the direction, if you will, the ultimate direction. And in this way, we actually refine our soul's purpose. Mm. So I'll stop there.
Carol, don't feel like you have to stop. That was so great. I'm wondering if you want to say a couple words about what you mean by source. I know a lot of people on this call, to some degree, and I know they might have some sense of source, but for anyone who's not sure about what source means, can you say a little bit about that? What do you mean by source, and why is connecting to source important?
Source is really whatever you think of as a higher power. You can think of it as your own higher self. You can think of it as God or spirit or angelic guidance or intervention. Personally, I have this sort of vision of the universe as a great actor and urger in our lives. So I kind of think of it as, you know, the stars and galaxies and the energy of the universe that really is in all of us. You know, since the Big Bang, we're composed of the very same matter that existed since the dawn of time. So we really are the universe in a very, you know, fundamental material sense. And the importance of that is that, again, I'm just going to use this modern world talk because I think that in indigenous cultures and many other places in the world where people are still connected to a sense of awe and wonder and the power of the natural world, there's really no question about why we need to be connected to source, because it's part of life. But in the modern world, you know, perhaps since the age of reason or whatever, we've disconnected ourselves. And so we have a tendency to think that we kind of reign supreme in certain ways. And, of course, it's not true. And so we, through whatever means, you know, we really need to return to a sense of dependence on this really fundamental relationship of beings that are held and cared for by a greater power.
Mm. Thank you, Carol. Gina, what do you think about this question?
You know, for me, what I would add to this, it's really an additive comment, is the interconnection of all of us on the planet, we humans, links into the cosmos, as Carol says, and is part of my source connection. So that's all I would add to that, and the importance of this practice for me of really tuning into this energy that's greater than myself is that it's allowed me to hear my own intuition, my the nascent voice that I have around different things, including my own creativity, has emerged with this practice of tuning into, you know, this larger energy. And I'll say for my children, that's nature.
Say what I'm hearing you both speak about is that there's a co-creativity. There's something where there's a listening that you both are doing to the source energy, to the abounding forces around us. And that instructs your life and what you choose to create, and I'm imagining it has a lot to do with how you create as you move forward. Is that?
Carol, I don't know about you, but it does occur to me as a co-creation process. Carol and I have a co-creation process that we've had for over a decade now, and then I do feel intimately when I am in creation and creating my day, week, month, whatever, creating my artwork, it is a co-creation with forces that I may not be able to name or even understand, but I just allow for them to flow in me and through me.
Thanks, Gina. Awesome. So
before we go into the partnership piece, which I want to spend some time on, I want something TiVo said resonated with something that was on my mind also as I was preparing for the call. It was said on a recent retreat, silent meditation retreat that Gina and I happened to be on recently. I heard one of the teachers say these words, and this is my interpretation of them, but that creation is happening all the time. Like it's already happening. It's already always happening, which happens to be language we use around the sufficiency practices and principles. We're already always enough right now. And creation might be the same thing, or it's becoming kind of a question, like, is it already happening, and is this about just tapping into that flow? And I'd love to hear from both of you about that. Carol, let's start with you.
Well, Carol, I'll jump in. It reminds me, Carol, I don't know if you remember, you said this to me when we, 10 years ago, when you were encouraging me to create my day, you said to me something like, if you don't create your day, you're leaving it to other forces to create it for you. Do you remember saying that to me?
Yeah.
And so to some extent, Shay, the answer is yes. We are always creating. We're creating through language and movement and creating our context. And whether we're aware of or directing our creation or not, we are always creating. And I think my lesson from Carol, really from Carol, is that own that creation process is power.
Yeah, that's beautifully said, Gina. And in addition to our own continual state of creation, we're creating in, if you will, concentric circles outward. We're creating as communities, we're creating as countries and areas of, you know, regions of the world, we're creating as human beings, and then the universe, as we alluded to before, is simultaneously creating, expanding, and we, as Brian Swim has, you know, and Thomas Berry have pointed out, you know, we are really the voice of the universe. We're the universe actualized, and so all of these creative forces are simultaneously going on. And this is another, you know, yet another reason for availability, another reason to develop our sensitivity to all of these, you know, many levels of creation that are going on, and to become part of the expansion, not to resist it, not to become entrenched in old beliefs, but to be sensitive and to help direct the flow positively.
So tell can you tell us what some of those practices are? You know, you mentioned some a few minutes ago, Carol, meditation and walking in nature, but it would be great to hear from both of you, and this will start touching into your partnership, because I know your partnership in and of itself is nourishing, nourishes this connection to source. But would each of you speak to your practices individually and collectively with each other? Kelly,
do you want to start, Gina?
Do you want to? Sure. I could talk a long time about my practices. So essentially my practices begin in the morning. From the moment I open my eyes, I have an intention to not interact with the larger world, and I don't use my technology or check messages or anything like that. my first moments of the day are either in journaling, reflection, and creation, active creation of the day, where I really say a mantra and sit quietly and set an intention for the day, just like we did at the beginning of the call. Or I immediately sit in Vipassana meditation. And there's no rhyme or reason as to which one I choose on which day to do first. So that's my first 30 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes of my day is a active creation practice with intention and mindfulness. So I'll stop there and throw it over to you, Carol, and then come back and talk about what we do in partnership later.
Okay. I think that there are two main points that I'd like to make. First of all, I'd like to reiterate the importance of being in tune with natural rhythms, because in so doing, we're actually riding on or going with the flow of the energy of the moon and the sun and all of the other natural rhythms of all that is, so that a new day, a new week, a new month, a new year, all of these time increments are really natural rhythms. Of course, that's how they originated. And to use them is to become aware of our infinite power in every moment, which we tend to lose sight of because we get caught in the continuum of our day, of our activities. You know, one moment leads to another, particularly if we have habits of behavior, you know, family and job exigencies, all of these things that we get caught up in. And we lose sight of the really infinite power we have to affect anything in any given moment. So to attune ourselves to these natural beginnings and endings helps mm-hmm. us reclaim that power, helps us realize, okay, here's an occasion when I could complete one thing and start another. So this kind of brings me to the next point, which is this process of completion and re-beginning. Completion, which Dean and I do on a monthly basis and sometimes even on a daily basis, and I encourage everybody to do as often as possible, is the practice of acknowledging the things that we had intended, such as the intention for the trajectory of this call, and to acknowledge the way that it actually showed up for us, and whether our intention was fulfilled or not fulfilled, we can then let go of something that perhaps wasn't fulfilled the way that we wanted it to be, or give thanks. And thanksgiving is one of the I call gratitude the medium of creation.
Mm.
So thanksgiving is one of the most basic practices. Anyway, completion is a chance for us to create a clearing, a new clearing, by letting go of what we had intended, whether or not it was fulfilled, giving thanks, and really opening the door to a completely new moment. And the more we can do this, the more power we will have, because the greater the clearing, the more of our innate power and drawing on the power of the universe is able to show up for us.
That was deep, Carol. I'm just resonating. I just want to enjoy the pause of resonating with gratitude being the medium of creation, and the wisdom of how you're speaking about completion in terms of it being a chance to acknowledge what happened around our intention. I think a lot of us and many of our clients and people we know can not create intentions or kind of accomplishments because we're afraid of failing, or we have had bad experiences in the past with that, or we feel like we're not sure how to create an intention worth meeting or not meeting. And I think what you're pointing to is the power of completion is a process to really allow ourselves to experiment more with our intentions and our yearnings and that co-creation process, because we know we can rest in a process that will have us be with whatever is, and kind of reorient through that process. I'm appreciating that's how I'm hearing you, Gina. I don't know what you're thinking and feeling after hearing that. Love to hear from you.
Yeah, I mean, I was simultaneously, I was thinking, but Carol, tell them what you actually do, because I'm the concrete one of the two of us. So I was thinking that, and I was also, basking in the richness of our partnership, and our creation does begin with completion. And even on our phone calls, usually the first, whether we talk for 5 minutes or 50 minutes, the first part of that conversation is a completing and emptying, and then we move to kind of a current and future. And so I think what I've seen with clients and friends is that for some people, completion can feel like it, you know, takes too long, or I don't need to do it. I just want to move on. I don't want to remember or think about it, or acknowledge that I failed or not failed. But the truth is, for me, particularly when I look at a longer amount of time, like a month or a quarter or a year, whatever intention I set for myself, and Carol will, I think, attest to this, but we'll do our completion, and I'll say, I'll read the intention, and I'll go, well, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Like, I get into the doing mind, but when I get into my being place and my heart place, most of the time my intentions have actually been fulfilled. Maybe not exactly as I would have predicted or wanted, but when I look at it from the intention realm, they tend to have been fulfilled in some way over the course of time that we were looking at.
I'd like to add one little thing. One of your listeners mentioned before the creativity that we have as children that we tend to have civilized out of us, as we grow. And, children aren't afraid of doing it wrong. They play and who cares if the castle falls down or whatever they had been working on goes in a new direction. As a matter of fact, the new direction is a source of joy and delight and greater energy. So I encourage everybody to really dream big. Who cares if we fail? We'll just complete and move on, put our dream onto another day, or change our dream, or intend something different.
Carol, are you willing to go back and answer Gina's longing or hear what you actually do, like in the morning or throughout the day, as part of your creation practices, or as part of your getting in the mind state or body state of creation?
Sure,
maybe it's different for different tasks, too, and you can speak to that, like different things you're creating, whether it's your art or your teaching or, other things that you do.
It's not all that different, actually. And I think that, let me start, because this is sort of a two-part thing as I see it. One is what are my daily practices? And two, how do I prepare for any given activity, let's say. So first of all, I'll just say that I write down my dreams. And I think this is a wonderful thing to do as a basic practice. It's also a completion and discovery practice because of all of the voices from the past, for example, that come up that want to be healed, voices from the universe that come in that are introducing new ideas, you know, who knows what comes in dream time. And just to give you a little color here, in Peru, the shamans start their day by sitting down together and comparing their dreams. And they often dream similar dreams because they have learned to work together in community for the good of the community. And so their dreams are in sync with one another because they're in this consciousness of the good of all. So after writing down dreams and thinking about them for a little while, I will start a practice that I learned from Julia Cameron's Artist's Way book, which is called Morning Pages. And that is simply writing down whatever is in your mind in order, as I said before, to create a clearing. So once these things are on paper, they're out of your head. And again, it's a process of actually opening a big space for something new to come in. So what I find is that as I sort of wind down this writing process, new ideas are coming in simultaneously, and so I'll be writing these down, maybe on a separate sheet of paper. And I actually have a very elaborate time increment creation process that I don't need to go into in great detail, except to say that it's in increments of five. And that was a number that was important to me to use, and it's not necessarily what I would advocate for everybody. So I will create in increments of 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks, months, years. And whenever I come to a new beginning place, for example, January 1st, is a new year, a new month, at least. Sometimes it's a new week, and so it requires a lot of creation time in order to set it in motion powerfully, because I, in my practice, will be creating 5 years from then. I'll be creating 5 months from then. And so I really want to allow plenty of time to be available to source guidance, to be available to the dreams that I have, to recreate the power in myself of these new beginnings, and send my intention forward in time to pave the way for these dreams and intentions to come into being. So after that process of creating whatever new increments are due, you know, a new day and a new 5 hours at least, if not a new week or month or year, Gina and I will often have our call at about that point. Other practices to bring in at that point would be meditation to really offer up my ideas about how my day might go, which of course are influenced by my circumstances and by things that other people expect of me and appointments and so forth, and what the universe has in mind for me. And there have been times when I have been completely put onto a different course, let's say, when it's like, no, you know, the most important thing for you to do is to spend your day in the studio and not do errands or whatever it was that I had imagined that I should be doing that day. So that's another first thing in the morning practice. So let me stop there because that's a lot of stuff.
So great. It's so great, though, to hear. I think we're all just curious about what we're all doing to make this work. And I'm gonna invite the listeners now to share with us your creation practices or any other questions that are arising in you right now. So I'm going to take you all off mute, see how that goes, so we can have a more open forum. And if we have to go back to raising our hands, we will. But is anyone open to, Susan, I am going to keep you on mute. But everyone else is off of mute. If you would like to tell us any creation practices and how you set yourself up to be in a creative state, tell us.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Judy, thank you. Hello.
Hi. Well, this is pretty simple and very quick. But what I've been doing is, it's something actually someone from the Sufficiency Course shared with me that they had heard Elizabeth Gilbert talk about. And she had advocated for asking oneself the question, what do I really, really, really want for today? And the way it's distilled down for me is I have an inversion table, so I go upside down when I ask that question because it gets me out of my head. And it feels like looking at the world from another view to ask that question as the hanged man, kind of upside down. And then when I first heard it, it felt very overwhelming. And so what it's become has been more like, what is the field that I want to be in today that I really, really, really want to, like, live from today? So rather than some kind of goal or outer action, it's become more like I want to live from a place of clarity today, or I want to live from a place of patience today, or I want to be playful today. And it's almost like it creates this field for the whole day that I can return to and that I'm moving from. And so I have found that to be a really surprisingly quick and wonderful start to some of the things I do in the morning.
So, Judy, this is Gina. One of the things, a couple of things that you said that I just wanted to highlight, one is the use of archetypes in our creative activities can be really useful. You talked about the hangman. And I just want to remind us all that they're available. I also wanted to say that what else did I want to say? You said hanging upside down. Oh, that sometimes my creation moments emerge from me, like kind of bubble up or gurgle out. And sometimes it occurs more like planting a seed in a Thich Nhat Hanh sort of way, planting a seed for mindfulness and planting the seed for, you know, if I want to cultivate joy or cultivate open-heartedness. I go both ways, and I heard that in your sharing. And I just really, I always feel like it's so personal for us to share about what happens to us between the time we wake up and the time we emerge out into the world. So just really thank you for that.
Oh, thank you for the mirroring. I really appreciate that, Gina. It's mm-hmm. always so great to just move innocently into something and then, you know, have a reflection that allows us to think about it, you know, and drill a little deeper. So thank you also.
I'd like to thank you. Thank you also for that. You've actually named one of the most basic practices, I think, which is that our being state, which you know you've described so beautifully as having fun that day or being peaceful that day or whatever it is, this informs everything. And as you mentioned, Judy, you can return to it throughout the day because that's a being state that you've sent forward to hold all of the rest of your activities and to inform them.
Bridge, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, thank you. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hi. I just wanted to add that one of the practices I have for creating my day is to, in the morning after meditation or even before, I just think of dedicating the whole day for the happiness of others. So certainly, you know, like all of us are sharing, we have our own personal realm and things to accomplish and so on. But I find it very freeing to think of people in my life that I know that have a certain need or they have an aspiration or a wish, and we just imagine them having that or being happy or being free of some suffering they have. And to even go beyond that, you know, so just like to begin the day with that kind of a wish or aspiration, you know, beyond oneself. Somehow I find it very freeing, sort of like very grounding rather than my own, like, which of course I get to a little bit later in terms of way of being and what I want to accomplish, but it's very grounding for me to just begin my day by wishing for others to be happy.
Bridge, thank you for saying that. We also, I have a practice really at the end of my mindfulness time where I just dedicate my personal work to the healing of all beings everywhere. And sometimes I add a little loving kindness practice to my creation, really depending on what's going on, where I'm sending out love to family and friends and even people I don't know and maybe even people who are challenging for me. And I just really appreciate you bringing that piece around our interconnection and that we can do this work for all beings, including ourselves.
Thank you both. Danella, you had your hand raised, and then TiVo.
Hi.
Danella, are you there?
Great.
Hi.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I am so enjoying this call and getting the connection, the new connection between completion and creation and them really being a part of an infinite loop or cycle. So thank you to Carol and to Gina for helping me realize the interconnectedness of those two concepts. For beginning my day, there's a lot of what Judy does, but I actually begin my day the evening before, and that's very much in my tradition anyway. So I do some appreciation / gratitude work. I may write it down, I may just think about it. And then I do a number of restorative yoga poses. And I really, you know, breathe into me, connect with the deepest part of myself. Empty my mind, but yet it's just filled. So any number of them, but there are a couple. And then in the morning, when I first wake up, before I get out of bed, like when I wiggle my toes and my hands, I say something what I'm thankful for. Whatever comes to mind, it could be what I wrote down the evening before, it could be something else, and I make sure to include both people, relationships, as well as things. And that's great because sometimes I start to wake up out of this deep, deep shavasana, and there's other energy, there's more agitated energy, our thoughts, and by experimenting now with, okay, the first words, spoken words out of my mouth are going to be appreciation and gratitude. It's helped me not get caught up in that anxiety, agitation that can sometimes be there in that early waking state. So I wanted to just add those two. I also pick a theme or a word for the day, which is either joy or I am purposeful or something like that. And in addition, in my dedication of this year to living in sufficiency, I pick some statement, a verbal phrase from sufficiency that I know is difficult for me or that I'm leaning into that might also counteract some statement that loops in my head that's from this place of scarcity. And so I'm just mindful when opportunities for that shift come up in the day. So those are some things that I do.
Janilla, thank you so much. The simplicity is profound, and yet I know what it takes to have a dedicated practice, like you just described, and it's beautiful how you have crystallized gratitude into these, gratitude and appreciation. And I love that you're starting the night before. That caught my interest as a way to really enter into sleep and really enter into the new day. And we have, as you know, I think, because you hang out with us fairly often, we have a sufficiency card deck that has lots of words, the tools of sufficiency, and words to support the tools. And those are in our store for anyone who's interested. They're very beautiful. They have Gina's very own collages on them that are beautiful, and they've been designed by a sister of sufficiency as well. So thank you for that contribution and for reminding us of that tool. Yeah. TiVo.
Hello. Thank you so much for the call today. The practice I want to share is that I sort of do a twofold practice. One is sort of an embodiment-based practice, and the other one is of an emergent story practice. So the first part is really just self-contact, because I think when we wake up in the morning, our whole being is much cleaner and much more accessible. So I put my hand on my chest. So the first part is really just self-contact. And it's asking myself three questions and really listening to what my embodiment says about that. So the first question is, how am I when I'm truly my essence or my true self? And really just settling into that and allowing my body to respond. And then the second question is, how am I when I'm truly deeply connected? And really noticing what changes on the physiologic and embodiment level to that second question. And then the third question is really kind of a bouncing back between those two until I arrive to the answer or the experience of what is it to surrender to both of those, which I believe are bigger than both of those. And then finally, at the end, it's really asking myself and kind of those larger resources, what do I intend for today? And when I arrive at a clear answer, then I presume that answer is already true, and out of the blue I tell a story, a pretty quick story, but it's articulating and voicing that story of this, of the intention already was realized. Mm-hmm. So by telling that story, I kind of allow one version of it to already be true. So it's a sense of completion, but then I can discover it as I move through my day.
TiVo, this is Gina. Thank you so much. I realize I'm sitting here biting my tongue. I'm going to talk to each one of you alone about and together about your practices. And you just reminded me, I don't do this, but when I was trained in Reiki, my Reiki master who attuned me suggested that first thing in the morning before you get out of bed is to do some self-Reiki. And your self-contact and that somatic experience you described, just I remembered that, so thank you. And for all of us, I love that
we've brought in yoga and the somatic, the body, is really important in our creative work. And how that looks is different from everybody. And some of us, it's hiking in the woods, and some of us, it is yoga, restorative or yin or gentle yoga. And some of us is self-contact. So just thank you for those of you who have talked about the body pieces to our creative practices.
So we're almost at the top of the hour, and we have we will be going till 15:45, and I know some of you will stay and some of you won't. So just at this time, does anyone have any questions about creation or something you would like? I know in our, you know, our little messaging out about this call, we did create and pull together internal resources around creation and put it into a starter kit. So we have a lovely document waiting in our store. And for those of you who have been live on the call, I will be sending out an email with a coupon code for you to purchase it at a 25% discount as part of us to just thank you for being here live with us, contributing your depth and your wisdom. So we want to just put it out there for any questions that you might have, and then we'll let Carol and Gina respond. You can raise your hand. I have some of you on mute because there was a little bit of background noise. Nope, I don't see anyone raising their hand. So so a question I have is, let's talk about the obstacles to creating. Like, what can get in our way to this state of mind and to this kind of directed action, directed heart action? Carol, let's have you start with, you know, what have you found personally or with your students and the people that you work with, what do you see as obstacles, and how do you support yourself and others resolving them or moving through them? So, Carol, I have you on mute. Start again, Carol. I'm sorry, honey. It was background
That's
noise,
right.
And now you're back.
That's okay. The biggest obstacle is not believing in magic. I would like to commend TiVo for really presencing the power of his own story and holding that story supreme, if you will, as his body, his experience, his intention, his connection, and allowing that to live. And we're so swayed by what others want from us and by what others, you know, expect from us in our perception of, you know, our daily lives, what our roles demand that we do or be. And we have so much more leeway than we imagine to actually create something entirely new. The shamans are always talking about living outside of conformity, because otherwise, how will our individual gifts be known? It's this beautiful, delicate balance of living for the good of others and dedicating our lives to the universe and to the forwarding of human consciousness and life everywhere, and yet recognizing that we are unique and that our unique gifts are actually essential to this forwarding of consciousness. So it's the ability to believe that this kind of truly momentous power and shift and change is possible. And then to simply keep doing it, and you know, we've barely mentioned on this call the reason that Gina and I are together in the first place, and that is to support one another in the daily practice of sufficiency. And, you know, creation practices have come out of that, have been a wonderful part of that. But really supporting one another in this mindful practice of being sufficient, of recognizing our own power, this is the great gift that we can give one another. So not to feel alone, but to act in partnership and community, and to be aware of your own power. This is what I would encourage people to do.
Yeah. So that's how we overcome all of our obstacles to creation, Shay, is through partnership. That's how I would answer the second part of your question. The first part of your question, though, what are the biggest obstacles that I see, is a little more tangible than what Carol said. I agree with everything you said. And what I noticed for myself is, and with others, is that we think it takes too much time and we don't have enough time and it's not worth our time. Because if we're creating our intention and our space and our time, even, I don't know, sometimes you wake up and even 5 minutes feels like we don't have 5 minutes to do something. And I think and this is back to Carol's comment about the magic. The magic for me is to know that when I take the time for creation, whether it's 5 minutes or 40 minutes, that the day flows. There's less glitchiness. It just moves smoother. So any time, quote unquote, taken to create is more than gifted back to me in the flow of the day. And I think that's a really hard concept. Well, it was a very hard concept for me to get, and it seems to be a hard concept for me to convey when people say, I don't have time to do that, Gina. So combination of taking the magic conversation into what I've noticed in what Carol would say, consensual reality.
Judy, I see your hand raised. I'm just going to pause on having you speak for one moment so we can spend a few more moments on this idea of partnership. And you're right, Carol, we haven't said much about it, even though it was a big part of our intention for the call. Let's hear from you two. Like, what do you do on those calls? What do you what has you keep coming back every day?
What don't we do?
Over 8 years. Yeah, what do you
do? Oy vey. What do we do, Carol?
Well, we just and this is an interesting point, I think, for people to hear. There's no one way to have a partnership call, and I've been partners in sufficiency with many, many different people, in different groups and different settings, and each partnership is going to yield a different gift. With some people, you'll go deep into philosophy. I've been Bridges' partner over the years, and there's nothing like his acute listening for nuances that had not even occurred to me. With Gina, we have struck, you and I have struck the most amazing balance of practicality and theory in bridging what we like to call our interesting gaps of background and age and so forth. And yet we have served as an amazing sort of balance point for each other. Neither one of us is the leader or the follower. We're in this sort of ongoing inquiry together. And so what I would advise people who are looking for a partner is just to see what the impact of a partnership is on your life, you know. Besides somebody reminding you of sufficiency, reminding you of creation practice possibilities, but just to see what sparks are ignited. One of my sisters was in a great partnership that they called Get It Done. And what it meant was that they encouraged one another in simply accomplishing new projects that they wanted to delve into and complete. So really, we have done pretty much anything and everything, talking about food, talking about the universe, talking about relationship issues. Anything that comes up is part of the bigger picture of moving consciousness forward.
Nina, what would you say?
Here's what I'll say. What works about our partnership is, as Carol likes to say, you know, nowhere would one think that we would have anything in common, just given what she said around our backgrounds and age and et cetera. And yet there is a way we can listen to each other and for each other and in a powerful way, because we're both strong women and some would say stubborn or fierce or whatever. And for some reason we can hear each other speak the truth to each other about each other. I would say that's the big key ingredient to, I think, a creative partnership or this partnership that we have.
Are there any other qualities of a partnership? If anyone on this call is, you know, thinking, okay, I want a partner and I'm going to go out and you know, date a little bit, so to speak, like go in and look for that. And I think we're maybe more attuned to what we want in our romantic partner or in even a work partner. This is an entirely new kind of category of partnership. So I've heard you say, Carol used the word sparks, which is awesome, and that's like a felt sense of chemistry and, you know, of some connection that's maybe even hard to verbalize. And Gina, you're talking about truth-telling. Is there anything else you would add or edit?
Yeah, there's a natural ease. And even if we, you know, sometimes, like even this week, Carol, right, is today the first day? I think today was the first day I spoke to Carol. I left voicemail messages. She left voicemail messages. But it's Thursday. We didn't connect. Now, that's unusual, but we don't make it mean anything. It's just we didn't connect until Thursday. But there's an ease to our partnership, and that's, I think that's really helpful. We don't force it.
Another quality that I would bring up is trust. It's really quite parallel to a romantic relationship in that you need to be able to depend on the other person's taking this responsibility really as seriously as you do, that that you set aside a time and that the intention to continue the work be there.
Mm-hmm.
I also would stress that you know, that there be joint values, and this speaks to Gina's and my connection through the sufficiency organizations that we've been a part of over the years, that really have been the container for the work that we've done over the years, which, by the way, hasn't been uninterrupted. There have been, I don't know how many times when we've broken off for a period of months or something and then realized what a gift it was and wanted to restart and recommit. So there's no one way of doing it.
Yeah, the other thing, Carol, and maybe this is really presumptuous to say, but when you were sharing about the shamans sharing their dreams in the morning and noticing that they're dreaming inside the same kind of spectrum, to some extent, I feel like we have that. We get on the phone and I'll say something and you'll say, oh my God, I had the exact same thought. And so a lot of times we'll come to our call in the morning and be experiencing the exact same experiences, and we might not have talked for 24 or 48 hours. And it's like we are co-dreaming together in that way.
That's right. That's right. And I think that is really attributed to this sense of joint purpose that's been nurtured and developed through our partnership, that really a lot of the energetic ties in the Peruvian tradition that I teach, we call them Seke lines. They're energetic lines of connection between ourselves and other human beings, between ourselves and sacred places. And we, Gina and I, have developed this very strong energetic tie that actually has us acting and experiencing things in common, even though we're not in verbal communication all the time.
Yeah, and speaking of that, when Carol goes away on her trips to the shamans, and she's gone for two to three weeks, we don't talk, but our partnership continues, and we set up how that's going to look. And for me, I might say, okay, Carol, at eight a.m., I'm going to sit and send my thoughts and wishes to you. And she might say, okay, every time I do a ceremony, there's going to be my moment with you. And so we dip in and connect intentionally, even when we know that we can't, because she's away or I'm away or sitting meditation and away from our technology.
You mean we know that we can?
Right. Well, we know that we can in the spiritual way, but we know we can't. We know that we're not going to call each other at 8 a.m. On the cell phone. We call each other other ways.
Right.
Which answers another question, another obstacle. That's an obstacle to creativity can be technology, and it could also inspire creativity. And I feel like we could have another 75-minute conversation about the power, the shadow and the strength of technology to our creativity, but we don't have time for that. That'll be part two.
Indeed. But you know, yeah. Witness the beauty of this call, you know, that we have however many people able to tune in and talk about creation and energetic connection together. And in this moment, we're all energetically, you know, tied to one another and committed to this idea of community around sufficiency and creation. So technology has been an amazing source of help.
Speaking of our community, Judy, I've made you wait so long, and we have a short moment, but do you want to let us hear your voice and hear what is
sure,
on your mind?
Sure, and it's not a problem. I loved hearing about it. It was right to take that time to really hear about partnership, and I'm very glad to have listened. And the question I have, I've been holding for a little while. Gina, you did a call on creation, probably it was like my introduction to Seven Stones, and I think it was 2 years ago. One of the takeaways from it, which I remembered you saying, was something about, you know, at this time of year, how people get into doing goals and how goals set us up to compare who we are now to who we think we should become. And I remember feeling such a sense of liberation. I hope I quoted you right. But anyway, that was my takeaway, because goals had never worked for me, and I had kind of almost felt partly a failure and partly just going, yeah, this technology just doesn't fit. And since have come to hear from someone who works as a creative coach with artists and writers that goals can be particularly damaging for people that work in that way. And so I guess I'm interested, because I think on the completion call you brought up goals again and said, well, you know, they're fine. And so I'm just curious, in the trajectory of sort of goals and intentions and other ways we can kind of hold the mystery of where we're being called to become, you know, if there's anything you might say around straddling those examples.
Gina, before you answer, Judy, that's an awesome question, and I want to acknowledge the time. It's 1:16 on the East Coast, so it's 16 past the hour, and I just want to acknowledge that we set the time to end at 1:15. However, this is an awesome question, so we'll consider it both a time for completion, and if anyone's ready to get off, you know, you can be getting off any time anyway, but I want to say thank you for being here. And for anyone who would like to continue on for a few more minutes, I think we'll, if it's okay, Gina, and you're willing to take a couple minutes to answer, we will.
Yes, thank you, Shay, for holding the integrity, and thanks, Judy, for that question. Yes, that sounds like something that I would have said and would say today. What I heard in your question is a reflection of my own journey, and simultaneously, I have aspirations for the future. Like, I have aspirations for a world where everyone matters. I have aspirations for impeccable client service for anyone who interacts with us at Seven Stones. I have aspirations to be a wonderful mother, daughter, sister, et cetera, wife. Sometimes goals, and particularly as I've gotten a little older, feel destructive, more and more destructive to me. And I have personally turned to inquiry. When we were preparing for this call, I went back and looked at a blog that I had written maybe 2 years ago, probably in conjunction with that call, where I asked myself, I think, 24 questions. And that's all I did for the year, was I just lived inside of 24 questions. And some of them I shared on the blog. That was my year where I completely moved away from goal setting, even accomplishments, which were an interim step for me. And I lived in the mystery of the question. And that's where I've dwelled for the last 3 years. I'm not saying it's for everybody. It's enough to hold my tension and attention. So I think we're all afraid we're going to become like lazy slobs or something if we don't have goals. I don't know what it is. I mean, that's what I think it is for me. It's like somehow if I don't have a goal or a resolution, I'm going to become this lazy slob. And for me, the question and asking the question, what is the right practice? What is a nourishing practice for me? What does mindfulness mean to me? Asking those questions and living inside of that has become my nourishment and has become how I create my year.
Mm. That's beautiful. I remember the questions from that call.
They were similar, like how do I care for my clients? One of the questions is what's the right weight and size for my body? That is a question I've asked myself. What's the right food and meal plan that would nourish me and source me? Steer through difficult relationships. So I don't have to have an answer. I don't need to know that, I'm gonna go to Weight Watchers. I just know that there's a question on the table that in the creation, in the reflection, actually gets answered. In this process that Carol and I, in our partnership and in our work, the answer just naturally arises.
Well, and it's interesting,
I'd like to just add the key word of self-love. I think that's sort of the underlying message of what Gina's saying, that if goals and intentions are created in the context of loving ourselves rather than driving ourselves or being critical of ourselves, that's the key difference.
Yeah, that's a very, very important distinction, isn't it? And that's the field of being, you know, that one can set.
Yeah, and I will say one of the questions Carol asked me, and we included it in the creation work, is, you know, how well did you love yourself today? And that question became a question for all of us at Seven Stones. How well did I love myself today? And then we each added a piece. I said, how did I love myself today? How did I reveal, what did I reveal in the hidden? Like, what, who am I? And how did that, and that question had us for, what, 2 years, Shay? We were asking that question of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's lovely. I just want to make one comment about the questions as I was listening to it this second time, hearing it from Eugenia, is that, you know, if you think of a fairy tale or a myth, you know, the hero's journey is usually based on a question, and mm-hmm. the answer comes out of their life experience of holding that question. So it feels very resonant to me that a question would have such an ability to be a real lantern of guidance, and a very organic one.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, that's an awesome question. And in the starter kit, there is a link over to that blog, and there's a very in-depth discussion into creativity and creation and inventories and how to create your year through some of these approaches that we've talked about, including accomplishments, because it does work for some of us at some times in our lives. And so we encourage you to check that out at our store, and I will be sending out an email with the coupon code to those of you who have been live with us today, again, to just celebrate your participation. Thank you again. And just a quick little commercial. If you are, many of you know that we're Seven Stones is a commitment to a world that matters for all, that is committed to developing curriculums and processes to support the human experience and human beings having that experience, knowing that they're enough, having self-love, self-worth, waking up from the trance of not enough, too much, and doing that in a modern paradigm that we all swim in, knowingly sometimes and unknowingly others. And that curriculum exists in lots of different ways. So if you're interested in it, doing like a self-paced version with a little bit of support, we have that. If you're interested in an in-depth kind of PhD rock your crack version, we have that. And if you are just looking for some one-on-one support through more of a coaching or trusted advisorship, this frames all of our work. We can bring that curriculum directly or more as a context into all those relationships we have with all of our clients, all of our community members. So if you're interested in any of those possibilities, please be in contact with Gina or I, and we'll get you set up with the correct conversations to be having. Is there anything else, Gina, that we could be saying right now?
Just thank you all for being part of our community. It really is nice to know that you all are out there, and hopefully we're helping in some way. And just thank you to Carol for joining us and sharing our intimate relationship to the community.
Yeah, thank you, Carol. It's been such an honor to listen to you. This is one of those calls that I, even though I was here present for it, I will most likely listen to again. So I took everyone off of mute, and we can all just hear each other's voice saying goodbye to each other and wish each other well. See you next time. Bye-bye.
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 I wish you well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.